Oh, good morning. Once again, good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. It's an encouragement to be in Stanthorpe and in church. And thank you, Pastor, for having us. And we've certainly been blessed already to worship with you. And I trust that God will speak to you this morning as we turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, and we'll just look at a few verses from verse 22 to 25. The book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter number 9. And we'll just read a few verses describing the early life of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter number 9, beginning in verse 22. Please follow along with me as I read. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Verse 25, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Why don't we pray at this time and ask the Lord to teach us? Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we have already adored you in songs of praise and worship. Lord, thank you that you are our God and that you are our Savior. We praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, and then rose again from the dead to redeem us back to yourself. Lord, we thank you for the message of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of salvation. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us in your word just a small part of what you would have us to do as Christians in this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, before I begin, I'd like to share a little story from the life of William Carey. I mentioned him earlier this morning. As you know, he was the well-known missionary that went from England to India. And as he was raising support, he would go and visit churches and he would share with them this little illustration. He would say that, you know, I feel like there is a person drowning at the bottom of a well. And he would say, I'm willing to go down into the darkness of that well to save the man, crying out for help, but I need some people up top to hold the rope for me while I go down. Well, that's exactly what happened. There were a number that got behind William Carey to pray for him and support him so that he could go into the darkness of India to preach the gospel and to do what God wanted him to do. Well, of course, since William Carey's day, many years have passed and the way we do missions has changed. But one thing that hasn't changed is what we're told of in Romans chapter 10. For how shall they hear without a preacher? And then the Bible says, how shall they preach except they be sent? So there are those who are called to go to preach, but then there are also those who are called to do the sending. How shall they preach except they be sent? Now, the main thought this morning from the message, and if you remember anything, please remember this, that missions work is teamwork. William Carey knew that, didn't he? He said, I need some people to hold the rope. The Bible teaches us that we are to labor together. We are laborers together with God. Amen? And that's what we are. We are a team. So when it comes to missions, please remember that missions work is teamwork. Well, as we look to the Bible this morning in Acts chapter 9, I dare say in the Apostle Paul's early Christian life, maybe there wasn't a moment more than this that he realized that missions work is teamwork. Here we see in the book of Acts, Paul's dramatic escape from the city of Damascus. I don't know about you, but when you read these verses, sometimes the hair on the back of my neck stands up as you think about how narrowly Paul escaped with his life, didn't he? The Jews were out to kill him. He heard about it. His life was in danger. And thanks to a group of disciples who helped him escape that night, Paul escaped with his life and went on to be the missionary that God had called him to be. What an exciting few verses. Now, if you're like me, you probably focus on the Apostle Paul, but very rarely do we take notice of those disciples who held the rope. Isn't that true? So I hope you don't mind. This morning, we're going to just focus on the rope holders. And the title of the message is Who Will Hold the Missionary Rope? Who will hold the missionary rope? We have a wonderful picture in this event in the book of Acts. Paul being helped to escape. And I believe there are some wonderful lessons for us this morning. So when it comes to missions, what part does God have us to play? Well, first of all, notice in verse number 25, the Bible says, "Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." I wonder, here's a question, how well did these disciples know the Apostle Paul? And here's another question. How much do you think they knew about what God wanted to do with him in the future? Probably they didn't know a lot, did they? Paul had only been a Christian for a few years. A number of those years were spent outside of Damascus, being taught by the Lord and being trained. And then he's back in Damascus, and they know he was a bold preacher of the gospel because in verse 22, he was boldly preaching in Damascus, so much so that they wanted to take his life. Certainly, he was being used of God. But I wonder what those disciples who helped him escape knew about the future of whom they were helping to escape. Probably not much. Well, one person knew, didn't he? Verse number 15 in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Ananias was a bit worried as a Christian to meet Saul, that was his name, before God changed it to Paul. And he was afraid because Saul of Tarsus, of course, was the murderer of Christians. He was a Pharisee. He was putting Christians to death left and right. He was responsible for the first for the killing of the first martyr, Stephen. And so that was Saul. And so we wouldn't blame Ananias for being a little bit afraid. But notice what God said to Ananias in verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So God revealed to Ananias what his plan was for the Apostle Paul. And what an amazing plan. Paul would take the gospel, the message of eternal life, into the lands of the Gentiles. He would take the gospel into Europe. Remember the first convert that was saved? It was the lady by the riverside named Lydia, the first convert in Europe. So think about it for a moment. God used Paul to take the gospel to Europe. And then where did the gospel go from there? Well, to the rest of the known world, to America, to Australia. And it was because of the Apostle Paul and missionaries like him that we have the gospel in Australia today. How greatly God used him. Now, before we go on, what had changed from someone who at first was a murderer of Christians to someone who was willing to die for the Christian message? What had happened? Did this religious Jew suddenly say, "Well, you know, if I want to get to heaven, I better change my life around and do some good before I die, because hopefully that will be enough to gain an entrance into heaven"? Is that what happened? No, there wasn't any time for that. He went from a murderer to being a preacher of the gospel. He went from a murderer of Christians to becoming a Christian himself. How did that happen? Well, Paul didn't just turn over a new leaf. You didn't just say, well, I need to turn my life around. No, not at all. The Bible tells us in verses before, in earlier in Acts chapter 9, that the Apostle Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus and he was miraculously converted. He realized that he was attacking not only Christians, but the Lord of the Christians, which was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. And he met the Lord and he claimed him as his own Lord and Savior. So Paul was converted. He was saved. He repented of his sins, no doubt, from being a sinner and receiving Christ as Savior. That's what happened to Paul. He was converted. Now, before we go on, let me ask the question, my friend, have you ever been converted? You see, conversion is not a lifelong experience. It is an instantaneous act of God. The Bible tells us that when we repent and turn from our sins, realizing that we are sinners worthy of God's holy wrath, we deserve to go to the lake of fire, we deserve to be separated from God forever. When we repent of our sins and we turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and we ask him to save us, we put our faith in his work on the cross alone for our salvation. The Bible says that we are born again. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Paul was now a changed man. Ananias was a bit worried that he wasn't saved. He wasn't a Christian. Was he still a murderer? Would he be murdered? But God said, no, he's a changed man. My friend, are you a changed person? Is there evidence in your life that there was a time and a point in your life that you can remember that you turned from your sins as a condemned sinner before God and you chose by faith to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, your Lord from salvation from sin and the Lord of your life? Was there a time? Well, I hope there was. And I hope you have a changed life now. Paul was certainly a changed man, wasn't he? And that's where we find him in the book of Acts chapter 9. Now, if you're not sure whether you are converted, if you're not sure whether you are going to go to heaven when you die, make sure you don't leave this place this morning without finding out how you can be 100% sure, how you can receive Christ as your Savior. Well, Paul was on his way as a missionary. And I think of these disciples, they didn't know him very well, but God had a great plan for him. Now think for a moment, these disciples, back to my main point, first of all, think of these disciples one day entering into eternity and then realizing who was really on the end of that rope. Can you imagine? Can you imagine their delight in realizing that they were the very ones that helped Paul escape that night? And he went on to do what God had called him to do. And as a result of his ministry, countless souls have been saved. Can you imagine the excitement of these disciples in heaven? Well, that's the excitement that we need to remember as well. See, God wants us to hold the rope for missionaries today. Have a look in the book of Philippians. Keep a bookmark in Acts 9. Have a look in the book of Philippians, please. Verse number 17 of chapter 4, Philippians 4, 17. Philippians 4, 17. Paul says to this church here in Philippi, he says in verse 17 of chapter 4, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, simply put, the brethren in Philippi were a giving church. They were giving to the needs in Jerusalem. They were also giving, evidently, to the Apostle Paul financially, helping him, supporting him along his missionary calling. And he said to them very plainly, under the inspiration of God, that their gift is not his greatest desire. He was saying, I'm thankful for what you've given me, but in return, my greatest desire is what? That fruit may abound to your account. What does that mean? That as they supported him, as they prayed and as they gave, and there was soul saved and Christians discipled and pastors put in place and more missionaries sent out, and as there was fruit in that ministry that they were supporting, in turn, that fruit would abound, get it, to their account. Isn't that amazing? This is a wonderful truth when it comes to supporting missionaries, that as we pray for them and as we give, we are reaping eternal rewards. So the first point is this: holding the rope is an investment in eternity. That's what those disciples did that night. Wouldn't you agree? They made an investment in eternity. And don't forget it, as you pray for the missionaries you support and you know and you hear from, don't forget that one day, like those disciples, one day in heaven, you'll fully realize what a great part that you had in helping those missionaries along the way. Amen? Don't forget about that joy. Don't forget about that blessing. That fruit may abound to your account. Now, likewise, you may not know much about the missionaries you support. You hear from them in letters. You may not have met them before. Just be like the disciples who helped Paul. Amen? They did not know much about him or what he might do, but in heaven, everything was revealed and they are rejoicing. One day you will rejoice when you see the full picture. But we hold that rope by faith, don't we? Believing if God has called them to be there on the mission field, God is using them, and don't miss out on the eternal joys in heaven. Well, holding the rope is definitely an investment in eternity. And what a joy it must have been for these disciples to realize that in heaven. Well, secondly, notice holding the rope is our duty. It's much more than an investment. It is our Christian duty. Acts chapter 9, verse 25, as we turn back there, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Now, why did they not take Paul to one of the main gates in the city? That would have been a bit easier, not as dangerous as trying to let him down along the high wall of such a great city. Why didn't they take him through one of the city gates? Because they were? Well, have a look in verse number 24. Who was there at the gates? Well, we know the Jews were. They were watching day and night. They were guarded. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives another account with more detail that the governor of Damascus had a garrison hunting for the apostle Paul. So the Jews were after Paul. The governor and his soldiers were after Paul. His life was in danger. He was a wanted man. And thankfully, these disciples made a decision that night, didn't they? They realized that they had a duty to help Paul escape. And thankfully they did. Now here's my point. Imagine if they did anything less. Imagine if they said to Paul, I know this sounds ridiculous, but imagine if they said to the Apostle Paul, Paul, we know that your life is in danger. You know that as well. So, Brother Paul, we want to help you out. There is a window in the wall on the east side of the city. And imagine if they gave him some directions and they said, Paul, as you get to that window, when you look out, don't be shocked. It's a steep drop. But Brother Paul, if you take a leap of faith and step out the window, we know that God's going to bless you. And Brother Paul, we just want to let you know that we think God has great plans in store for you. You're a bold preacher of the gospel. We're glad to have met you, and our thoughts and prayers go with you. God bless you. We believe you'll land on 2 feet and go off and be fine. Imagine if that's what they said that night. Now you'd say, well, of course they wouldn't have done that. That's ridiculous. He couldn't escape the city on his own. He needed some help to escape. Well, that's what we need to realize when it comes to the missionaries we support today. It's ridiculous for us to think that all they need to do is take a step of faith into the darkness and everything will be all right and off they go. That's not true. You see, missions work is teamwork. And just as much as Paul needed for these disciples to hold the rope so he could escape to safety, likewise, our missionaries need you to hold that rope spiritually. Have a look with me in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and it will become clearer. 2 Thessalonians, thank you for turning there. I trust you're still with me this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Do we really have an important part to play when it comes to reaching the world alongside of missionaries? Well, notice what the Bible tells us. And again, the Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what he says to these believers. Finally, brethren, what are the next words? Read it out loud. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, a few things. The persecution and the death threats didn't end in Damascus for the Apostle Paul, did they? Everywhere that Paul went, it seemed that someone wanted to stop him. Someone wanted to kill him. It could have been the Romans or the Greeks or the Jews. And as he preached, more persecution came. His life was continually in danger, wouldn't you agree? Absolutely. One time he was stoned and they thought they had done away with him, and miraculously Paul stood up. They wanted to kill him. He was almost stoned to death. Wow, Paul's life was in danger. So what did he ask these Christians to do? Finally, brethren, what did he ask them to do? Pray for us. How do we hold the rope for missionaries? Well, we hold the rope through prayer. And you might say, well, Brother James, that's the least I can do. And I'm not really doing much. They're out there. They've left everything, you might say. They've left their home and country. And look, they're doing the work of God. Me, I don't really have a big part to play. And, you know, I'm happy to pray. Well, notice what the Bible says. Verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So the scriptures reveal that holding the rope in prayer is not a small part. Paul said to these believers, as you pray, we will be delivered. Can you see that this morning? As the disciples helped Paul escape that night, Paul was delivered from the hands of the governor. And then he writes to these Christians and he says, as you pray, we will be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. What's the point? Church family, holding the rope for missionaries, spiritually speaking, is our Christian duty. As you pray for your missionaries, your prayers result in them being delivered from danger, for example. Persecution, attacks, opposition. It doesn't mean they won't face these things, but these things will not crush them and destroy them. There were unreasonable and wicked men that were getting in the way of the preacher and the lost. And the gospel was going forth with power, but they were seeking to stop it. And Paul said, pray for us, not only that the gospel would go forth, that we may be delivered as well, so we can go forward to preach. So understand, church family, that it is our Christian duty. As we pray, missionaries are delivered. And only the Lord knows sometimes how much they're delivered. We think we just have a small part to play, don't we? when we pray for missionaries. That's not true. Because God hears our prayers. God does the miraculous on the field. And your prayer for that family, for that husband, for that marriage, for those children, for that church, you may only see in eternity how much of a difference you made by holding the rope. Amen? Let's see it as our duty. So much to pray for. You know, in the presentation, you would have seen the darkness of Mauritius, the depravity, the spiritual wickedness. You know, you can feel it. You can't really describe it, but you can feel the darkness. You can see it in people's eyes who've been worshipping idols made of stone for generations. And these idols are demonic. And the oppression on that country is unspeakable. Those are the kind of environments that missionaries go into. And they face opposition. Frightening things take place in the darkness. And they need your prayers for safety. There's physical safety, their health. As I've mentioned already, their marriage. You know, these are not areas that we're surprised the devil will attack. Isn't that right? His ways are known to us, the Bible tells. We know how the devil attacks. He wants to attack the children in a missionary's family. Whatever it takes to get them off the field. Isn't that true? So, will you hold the missionary rope? It makes all the difference. Just like those disciples that night made all the difference for Paul. Likewise, we do too, as we hold the rope. Well, back in Acts chapter 9, I want to give you one more point. Not only is holding the rope an investment in eternity, it is secondly our Christian duty to deliver missionaries from danger. Lastly, and this is probably the point that ties it all together, holding the rope ultimately will cost you and I something. How do we know that? Well, in verse 25, what would have happened to Paul if they would have caught him that night? They would have killed him. Now, here's another question. What would have happened to the disciples if they were caught that night? They would have been killed too. They would have been accomplices in the act of the escape of a wanted man. They wouldn't have dealt very lightly with the disciples. No, they would have faced the same fate. Think about it that night. Aren't you glad the disciples made that decision? They put their lives on the line. They were willing to die if need be, to be caught and lose their families, lose their future here on this earth. Risked it all to help Paul escape. And when it comes to holding the missionary rope for missionaries, there is a partnership, but we need to realize that it will always cost you and I something. We've already spoken this morning about the sacrifice of prayer. You know, prayer is a sacrifice that we offer up to God. You remember in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, offering incense upon the altar. And of course, the altar of incense in the tabernacle itself was a picture of the prayers of God's people. Likewise, as we pray, it is a sacrifice. It is something that we need to plan for and prepare for and make time for that won't just happen on its own. Isn't that true? So when it comes to the missionaries that you pray for, please remember it's going to cost something. It takes time to pray for their needs. It takes time to write their needs down and know what they are. Isn't that true? And I don't know about you, sometimes I struggle remembering the names of the kids, and they keep having kids and trying to remember the new names of the children. And it is a struggle, especially if you haven't met the missionaries before. You don't know them. There's that distance. But remember, it's going to take time to set aside during the day. It's going to cost something, the sacrifice of time, energy. We all have lives. We all are busy. We all have priorities. But brethren, for a Christian, here's a greater priority. praying for missionaries. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. Well, one other sacrifice I'd like to share with you in the book of Philippians, and we'll turn there lastly, chapter 4. Prayer is certainly a sacrifice, especially when you're tired, especially when you've had a big day. But it's a decision we need to make to hold the rope for our missionaries. Have a look in verse number 18, please, of Philippians chapter 4. Following on from verse 17, Paul says, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Now, isn't that wonderful? The Bible reveals how God looks upon our giving. Just like our prayers as incense ascend before a holy God to His delight. Likewise, our giving, the Bible says, is an odour of a sweet smell, well-pleasing to God. Like incense wafting up before the holy throne of God. God delights in the giving of His people, and the context is giving to missions. But don't miss it. The Bible describes their giving as a sacrifice. As a sacrifice. You see, we can't hold the missionary rope without being willing to sacrifice. If you're here this morning and God has encouraged you to partner with missionaries, to pray for them, to hold the rope, to give, it won't happen without sacrifice. We have to be willing to pay a price. We have to be willing to give, to pray, sometimes even to fast. Amen? There's another sacrifice. Well, holding the rope costs something, but it is acceptable and well pleasing to God. Church family, will you hold the missionary rope? Will you see it, first of all, as an investment in eternity? One day you will rejoice in heaven, amen? Don't give up. Do you see it as your Christian duty? Do you believe that as you pray, God answers prayers and they result in deliverance for missionaries? Is it not our duty, amen? Ought they just to take a leap in the dark by faith themselves? Or will we be up top holding the rope as they go down? Well, I trust you've seen it as your duty, but will you pay the price? Time to pray. Time to give. Willingness to give. Well, those are some lessons from the scriptures this morning. And as I think about the days in which we live, I don't believe that God wants us as Christians to institute a new normal for missions this year. Amen? No, He wants us to go back to the old paths and to stick to the Word of God. I'd hate to think there's a new normal for missions which some pastors have revealed is taking place already, where they're not able any longer to support the missionaries they currently have. Christians are giving less. What would have happened to Paul that night if they started to let go of the rope? Or tragedy. Isn't that true? We don't want to think about that. But let's think about the hard things this morning. What happens if churches and Christians in Australia this year start to let go of the rope? And there are missionaries all over the world already who need the brethren to hold the rope. And it starts to slip. Well, we don't want to think about that, do we? That's not God's will. That's not His plan. Church family, be encouraged. Christ is coming, and by His grace, hold the rope. Only by His grace, of course. Amen? And we will rejoice in eternity. We all have a part to play. God simply calls us to play, to do the part He He's called us to do.